We're going to talk a little Blue Jays baseball and Kansas City Royals baseball with Josh Vernier from 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Good morning, Josh. You're with Kevin Karius and the Hockey Hall of Famer, Grant Fuhr. Thanks for hopping on Sports 1440 this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Grant, thanks for all the years of entertainment.
No, thank you.
That happens every time, Josh, and every time. What did you make of the first game of this series yesterday, Josh? And for Blue Jay fans up here, we are really, really impressed with how Yusei Kikuchi has gotten off to a start this season.
Yeah, that to me was the takeaway last night, despite the fact that the Royals' starting pitching has really been the reason why they find themselves three games above 500. The takeaway from last night was Yusei Kikuchi was just better than Brady Singer. And then you're going to follow that up with Kevin Gausman and Jose Barrios. Mm-hmm. In the finale, you guys know it normally comes down to pitching and defense. And last night, Toronto's was better. And when I look at that Blue Jays rotation, I'll stack it up with the Phillies and the Mariners, the Royals and Red Sox with the best in the major leagues right now. And it's certainly not going to get any easier for this Royals offense, which has been down somewhat over the past week and a half. Not going to get any easier with that Gausman splitters coming at them tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked. And then, you know, the Jays added Yariel Rodriguez and they pony him up with Bowden Francis. So it's almost like a double starter that you'll see in 2 days. What do you make of the Kansas City Royals lineup so far this year, obviously led by Bobby Witt Jr.?
Yeah. For a team that lost 106 games last night, a team that is led by a 23-year-old in Bobby Witt Jr., a 24-year-old in Mikel Garcia, and a 26-year-old in Vinny Pasquantino. Now, I understand Salvador Perez is the captain of the team, but if this organization's going to go anywhere, it's going to be on the backs of those 23, 24, 25, 26-year-olds. When they lose 106 games last year, this front office had to do something, or else they were going to get to a point where, you know, you just start to expect, well, in Kansas City, this is what we do. We lose a lot. But the front office went out, made the type of acquisitions to bolster that rotation, bolster that bullpen. And the early season success, I think, has given those young bats not only the type of confidence that I belong in the big leagues, but I belong on a winning team. And the talent in this clubhouse might just be enough for us to play a meaningful game in June or July or August, something that hasn't happened here since 2017. So even though the offense has been down for the past week and a half, I do think there's enough confidence in that clubhouse and among those young hitters that they will avoid an elongated slump, despite the fact that, yes, a formidable opponent's going to be on the mound tonight and really throughout the next 15 days as the Royals play 15 straight games against teams with a 500 record or better. The offense has talent, and I now think it's equipped with confidence, and that's a scary thing. So I don't believe that they're going to step into the box tonight carrying the recent slump. I think they're going to carry confidence and go right at this Blue Jays rotation for the next 3 days.
Yeah. Go ahead, Grant.
So with the Royals offense being down a little bit, would that coincide with Perez being a little bit banged up?
He's a guy right now at the age of 33 that is focused first and foremost on winning, but in the back of his mind, he wants to end up where you're at. He does have visions of baseball's Hall of Fame, and he is on that trajectory. So this isn't a guy that is going to, as most Hall of Famers are, a guy that's going to give in to injury throughout his career, whether it's concussions, it's COVID, it's knee surgery, it's elbow surgery. He had this one ailment where fluid would build up behind his retina and he couldn't even see out of one eye, and yet he's still posting every day, putting up numbers. So Salvi has reached base, I think, now with 11 straight games. So he's always banged up, and yet he has something inside of himself that doesn't allow the pain, the soreness, to affect him during the game. I can only imagine what his nights and his pregame preparation are like. But Salvi's been the best player on this team. For as well-rounded as Bobby is, the most consistent hitter on this team has been Salvador Perez. He's been the guy that you want up in the big spot. So to me, the slump right now has coincided more so with quality opponents and really good pitching on the other side. A three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles, including a matchup with Corbin Burns, and then, as we mentioned, one heck of an effort last night from Kikuchi.
Yeah, no question about that. We're with Josh Vernier, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. What about MJ Melendez? Last year, this was a situation where he really put the bat on the ball quite well, had good barrel contact, didn't get a lot of breaks as far as balls falling in and maybe hitting the gaps. Had a quick start. Has he fallen off a little bit? How would you assess how MJ Melendez has played so far for the Royals this year?
To me, he was one of the real pendulum swingers for this team coming into the season. Last year, you're right, was hitting the ball hard consistently, but couldn't find a hole, couldn't find consistent success. But also when you're playing, you know, 162 games, six games a week, you don't have much time to just work, just focus on improvements and adjustments and then not being forced to immediately implement those in the game. Because often with hitters and pitchers, you can work all morning on adjustments. You can have a plan of attack, but then you get up in that batter's box and you're fighting for your life. You're going to revert to what got you there. And I think that hurt MJ. But then he gets to the All-Star break. He's able to work for three, four straight days, not have to perform at night, just focus on how I can improve and working on those adjustments, and took off in the second half of the season with an OPS north of 850. That's continued here into the early point of the season. He's won two or three games for this team with game-winning RBI. So he's one of those guys I was talking about that got that early season influx of confidence that serves as a reinforcement or validation that what I did last year in the second half is real. Melendez, to me, has the power to run into 25, 30 home runs a season. He just needs to try and cut back on the strikeouts. I think he's been doing it this season. And as he continues to grow in the game, I would think that power is going to continue to be on display.
Go ahead, Grant.
So as the season goes along, do the Royals have enough in the bullpen to make it a meaningful June, July?
If the rotation continues to do what it's been doing, which is giving you six innings and a chance to win in all but basically one game this season, 22 out of the first 23 games, I think the rotation has given the Royals a chance to win. They're third in baseball in innings pitched, fourth best ERA, fourth best whip. If that continues, that allows your bullpen to rest, which makes them fresh and I always think better as the season goes along. But as we all know, this sport often turns into a battle of attrition over 6 months. So can these starters stay healthy? How often do we see a rotation go a full 6 months needing only five starters? Not very often. So the depth will be tested. I think they have some pieces down in the minor leagues that can help the bullpen. But when and if they lose one of these starting pitchers, that to me is going to be the fork in the road in the season for this team. Do they have enough depth starting pitching-wise to make up for the loss of fill-in-the-blank starter? I think they have enough in the bullpen, but the question is, can the starters maintain?
How would you say Reagans has been, I mean, just phenomenal since coming over from Texas?
Yeah, he's been one of the three, four best lefties in the sport since that late June trade last year with the Rangers that sent Aroldis Chapman to the World Champions. And yeah, former first-round pick of the Texas Rangers, two Tommy John surgeries, knocked out three seasons for Cole Reagans. But, you know, it's been fun to watch him accept the role as the ace, as the number one, because not only is there, you know, a certain pride and pressure that comes with it, but now you're squaring off with horses every fifth day, like coming up in the finale. Cole Reagans going opposite Jose Berríos. He's already faced off with Pablo Lopez once and Corbin Burns twice. So It's nice to be the one, but you don't often get a chance to breathe because your offense is facing a horse and they're asking you to match whatever the guy on the other side's doing. But so far, so good. And the kid's got a great mentality focused on team first, not so much on the individual.
Mm-hmm. Grant, have you got one more for Josh here?
So as we look through the year, what do you think a good record would be for the Royals come the end of the season?
Coming off a season in which they went 56-106, even though the fan base probably wouldn't like me saying this, if they can get into 70, 72, 75 wins and show real improvement, that to me would be good enough for me. I think it would be good enough for the fan base, and I think it would show that clubhouse that we're close. Now, one more offseason of work. Let's show up next year with bigger goals, with the taste of blood in our mouths. Let's go win next year. Let's go attack this regular season. So even though right now they're in second place and Royals fans are dreaming about October glory, it's a long season, and the American League East, the American League period is just deep, and you got to go through them all. So yeah, give this Royals team 72-76 wins. I mean, that's a 16-20 game improvement. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, one last one for me. What kind of manager is Matt Quatrero?
Yeah, he's been really fun to get to know. He's kind of a ball of baseball cliches, and I mean that in the best way. Like it's when he says we turn the page immediately after the game, and what happened yesterday doesn't matter today, and what happens today doesn't matter tomorrow. When he says that, it's not the Bull Durham throwaway cliche that you don't really mean. I mean, he lives it. He is that even keel, be where your feet are, always present, never living in the past. And I think that's a pretty good leader for a clubhouse full of inexperienced, talent-laden ball players that, as I mentioned earlier, have never played in a meaningful game in June, let alone in October. Yeah. Sure, Salvi has it, a few of the free agents that they brought in, but most of these guys are normally out of it by the time by the time we get to the Ides of May, the season's a wrap. So
yeah,
I've enjoyed learning Matt Quatrero, but like his players, he's got some pretty big tests that lay ahead of him. He's never managed in a game that's meaningful in the month of June, so should be an exciting summer in Kansas City.
Hey, Josh, really appreciate your time. Enjoy tonight's tilt with Walker and Gosman. I'm really looking forward to Thursday with Reagans and Barrios. That should be a good one as well. Thanks for coming on today.
I'm with you.
You
Thank you very much.